We're trying to deepen our convictions about what God intends for His church to be. And we're trying to kind of just, for those who are members of this church, just raise the bar a little bit as it relates to our commitment to living out community the way that God designed it. We've talked about the fact that we need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've talked about the fact that we need one another. We've talked about the fact that we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Today's sermon is titled, We Need the Truth. We need the truth. Look with me, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll begin reading just a couple of verses, beginning in verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 15. Let's pay attention to how Paul describes God's vision for the local church and how it works. Ephesians 4:15, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Listen, if there was just one strategy that we could employ as a local church to guard against becoming an openly shallow church, if there was just one strategy that we would need to that we could put in place, if there were only one strategy that we could put in place as we hit the restart button with our small groups and begin pursuing deeper friendships and deeper fellowship together, if there was only one strategy that we could use to guard against our groups becoming openly shallow small groups, I think this strategy might be that one strategy. It's the strategy of speaking the truth in love to one another. It's this strategy that God has put forward here in the New Testament, this strategy of speaking the truth to one another with love in our hearts for one another. Did you realize that one of God's key strategies for building up His church is conversations? Discussions between people. This is a key strategy for us as a church, speaking the truth in love to one another. And as we just kind of unpack these simple verses here in front of us in Ephesians 4, I want to ask a few questions. First of all, what are we called to do? Secondly, why are we called to do it? And third, how are we going to live that out? What are we called to do? Why are we called to do it? And how are we going to live it out? What, why, and how? First of all, what are we called to do here? We're called to speak the truth in love to one another. We're called to minister to one another. And in fact, by the way, did you notice this is every one of us who's called to do it? Paul goes out of his way in verse 16 to point out it's not just a few members of the body who are engaged in this ministry of building up the body by speaking the truth in love to one another. It requires every part of the body doing its part when each part is working properly. We talked last week about the fact that there's no such thing as an ungifted Christian. There's no such thing as a Christian who is not given gifts by God's Holy Spirit to be used to build up the body. And what Paul says here fits perfectly in line with that, right? When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow. So this is something that all of us are called to do. What is it? It's a ministry that involves just a couple of very simple ingredients. Speaking the truth in love. Truth with love. That's the basic mode of ministry that all of us are called to be involved with. I don't know if you remember last year during the football season, there was this commercial that was regularly on TV where they would talk about the difference between both and either or. So they do that, like, the difference between both and with nuts and bolts and the difference between either or with nuts and bolts. And so you see this couple kind of driving along in the car, and they're talking about, well, what would it be like if we, you know, if we only had, you know, nuts or bolts to put things together? And there's this picture of their backyard and this above-ground swimming pool that they just put together without using any of the nuts. And what happens? I mean, the thing just explodes all over the place, right? Listen, when the Bible gives us both ands and we try to make it into either ors, things explode all over the place. They don't work the way they're designed. If you want to build an above-ground swimming pool, you're going to have to use the nuts and the bolts together, both of them, not just one or the other. And listen, here's the thing. For this key strategy that God has given for building up his church, we're going to have to use both of the ingredients that he's given to us, both the truth and love. Not either or, right? Some of us might be more inclined in the truth direction, and we might feel like, listen, truth is where like the real nourishment comes from, right? And so if I say the truth to people in ways that don't come across in a very loving way, well, listen, I've still done my job. Truth minus love is still great ministry, right? Not according to Paul. Even true truth delivered from a less than loving heart is not how God designs for his church to be built up. On the other hand, some of us might be kind of more inclined in the love direction. We love that Galatians 6 calls us to bear one another's burdens. We don't so much like the fact that Galatians 6 also calls us that whenever someone is caught in a transgression, we who are spiritual should restore him in a spiritual gentleness. We just want to stick with just the bear one another's burdens parts. And so we figure if I just go and like, if I just sit with people and hug them and hang out with them, that's what church is all about, right? Not according to what Paul is saying here. When the church is doing ministry the way that the Lord Jesus Christ has intended for us to minister to his body, it's going to require truth with love. And it's not even just sometimes truth and sometimes love. You know what that looks like? I mean, maybe you grew up in a household where that's how it worked. Sometimes dad spoke the truth to you, and sometimes dad was loving to you. That's not what Jesus is calling us to here. He's calling us to speak the truth to one another with love. You might think of it in terms of steak and, you know, kind of a nutrient-rich steak and sweet marinade. Listen, if you want to nourish the children in your household, you don't just slap in front of them sometimes a raw steak and sometimes a cup of marinade, right? And the same is true in the local church. We don't just sometimes slap in front of each other the raw truth and sometimes offer each other hugs and care and love. Now, according to Jesus' vision for church, we're called to minister to one another with truth and love together. Not one or the other, both of them at the very same time. And when we do, what will the result be? The result will be that the body is built up. And that brings us to the second part of this message. I want to kind of move forward for now. What are we called to do? We're called to speak the truth with love. Not one or the other. We're called to speak the truth with love to one another. Why are we called to do that? Two reasons here. There are two reasons reflected here in this passage. The first reason is because we live in a world that is stained by lies and deceptions. Where's that in our text? It's what Paul is pointing to with that word rather. You see, in verse 14, Paul has been talking about the danger of the church being stunted in its growth, the danger of Christians not growing up because of false teaching. because of deceptions, because of lies. See, I don't know if you realize this, but right now you live in a world that is feeding you not nutrient-rich steaks with sweet marinade. You live in a world that is feeding you rotten lies. Day after day after day. This world lies to you about the value of things that are going to end up in a garage sale by next summer, right? This world lies to you about what a marriage should look like. This world lies to you about what a single life should look like. This world feeds you lies that your past defines you and that people like you can't really change. This world has been feeding you lies that your kids can never really change. They're just wired the way they are. They'll be that way for the rest of their lives, so why bother helping them change? This world has been feeding you lies that you can never be forgiven for what you've done. This world has been feeding you lies that you can never forgive what has been done to you. This world has been feeding you lies that your tears can never actually be wiped away. My daughters are growing up in a culture that is going to pressure them to believe that true beauty is modeled by photoshopped images on magazine covers. You imagine the damage that those lies will do if they digest them? Students, you live in a world that will try to measure your value and your dignity and your worth by grades in classes, by performance on the athletic field, by your number of Facebook friends. It's all a lie. Don't believe it. How many of us have bought into the lie that our value and our dignity is bound up in our job title, in where we work? As if the word at the bottom of your business card makes you more of a man or a more respectable woman. Some of us grew up in households that led us to believe that we're worthless. It's a lie. And yet, you're still dealing with the pain and the shame of it today. Some of you grew up, on the other hand, in households that functionally led you to believe that you're the center of the universe. And you're also still dealing with that today. Every time your coworkers or your spouse or your children don't think you're quite as awesome as you think you are, you're still dealing with that. This world feeds you lies about the security that can be found in possessions and savings. This world feeds you lies that you'll always feel as weary as you feel right now. This world feeds you lies about this life, about eternity, about God, about Satan, about yourself, about those who live around you. Listen, ever since the day that the serpent slithered up to the woman and said, "Did God really say?" Ever since that day, we've been living in a world that is stained by lies and deceptions. Did you know that? Did you realize that? And as a result of that, in God's design, His church, His community is meant to be a counterculture against this world of lies and deceptions. The church is meant to be a counterculture where we don't just sit here absorbing the lies and the deceptions that are being fed to us day after day, but where we stand against the lies and the deceptions that we've been fed our whole lives. How? By speaking the truth in love to one another. And saying to each other, that lie that you've been hearing since you were a child, it's a lie. And here's what God says instead. By saying to one another those things that you've come to believe about your weariness, it's a lie. And here's what God says instead. We're meant to be a community that is speaking the truth to one another in order to stand against the lies and the deceptions of this world. But there's a flip side of that coin, kind of a second reason why we're called to speak the truth in love to one another, not only because this world is made up, or not only because this world is so deeply stained by lies and deceptions, but also because the truth builds up the body. But also because this is God's design for how his people grow and are strengthened and become more mature and stronger as time goes by. And listen, this isn't just kind of Paul's passing idea here. Throughout the scriptures, this fact echoes that God's people are nourished and strengthened and built up by God's truth. God's people grow on the nourishment of God's truth. Let me just kind of skim over a few passages of scripture here that build my faith for how God wants to use his truth to build up other people here in this room. Listen, this was the conviction of Moses, who said, man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Deuteronomy 8:3. This was the experience of the nation of Judah. That nation experienced one of the most powerful revivals in the history of redemption. And you know how that revival began? 2 Kings 22 explains this way. Then Shaphan the secretary told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king, and when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Listen, great revivals begin when God's people read God's word and encounter God's truth. Simple as that. This is the testimony of Psalm 19, right? The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And Psalm 19 just continues on and on and on. That's not even the half of it. And listen, these things weren't just true for Old Covenant believers, this was the experience of the New Testament church from its earliest days. Acts 2:42. How did the early church get nourished? Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. Other things as well, but this is where the list starts. How did the early church gain its strength? By listening to truth. And it wasn't just the beginning of the church that started that way. The survival and the expansion of the church to different races and different cultures and different regions and different places is described like this in Acts 19:20, quote, so the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. I mean, you listen to this stuff, doesn't this build your faith for how God might build us up if we're a community of people who are speaking the truth in love to one another? If we're feeding each other the truth of God's word, what might God be pleased to do? It's no surprise that Jesus himself prayed for us this way in the great prayer of John 17, verse 17. Jesus prayed for us saying, quote, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And so when we get here to Ephesians chapter 4, we need to realize this is not some kind of isolated teaching, that God's people are built up and strengthened and nourished by God's truth. This is the conviction of all of the scriptures. Just as children are meant to grow up and get taller on a healthy diet of nutritious foods, so the church, so your life individually, is meant to grow up and get stronger on the nourishment of nutritious doctrine, on the nourishment of nutritious truth, on the things that we discover here in this word. Why are we called to speak the truth in love to one another In part, we're called to speak the truth in love to one another because we live in this world that is stained by lies and deceptions. And in part, because the truth is the stuff that God uses, if you will, to nourish and build up and strengthen his people. But that brings us to our third question. How are we going to do this? What is this actually going to look like? I hope it's obvious by now, as we're looking through this, when we say we need the truth, we don't just mean we need a statement of faith on our website that has true stuff in it. At least statement of faith are awesome. They provide wonderful protections for the church, guidelines for members. They provide accountability for church leaders. Statements of faith are great. But when we talk about needing the truth, we don't mean we need a document somewhere on our website. We mean we need the truth being spoken in conversations and discussions from one member of this church body to another. And regularly so, if we're going to be built up as God intends for his church to be built up. What will that look like? What will that involve? What does that even mean? You know, actually, it's interesting. I was reflecting on this. Where do we have a good example of someone speaking the truth in love to someone else in the scriptures? Actually, you don't have to go any further than the book of Ephesians. This book that we're already looking at, you know what it is? It's just 4 or 5 pages of Paul speaking the truth in love to the body of Christ. And so we get example after example here. Sometimes speaking the truth in love to one another is just going to be a matter of encouraging other people about who they are in Christ and how they're living faithfully before him. That's where Paul begins his letter. To the saints who are in Ephesus, to the saints, it's who you are, people. Amen. And who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Sometimes speaking the truth in love to one another is just a matter of reminding each other of the happy gospel truth of who we are in Christ and what God's Spirit is already doing through us. Let me just kind of rewind in my life a little bit here. So a couple months ago, I went to a community group meeting. And I'm the leader of those meetings, so I lead the agenda, I set the agenda, I decide what we're going to do there. It was near my birthday, and right when we were about to start the discussion, some other people there informed me that I didn't have the right to decide what we were going to be doing because the rest of the people in the group had already decided that they were just going to take the rest of that meeting just to encourage me for things that they saw God doing in my life. Now, if you're a leader and you're sitting there, you're just like really uncomfortable in that moment. You're like, first of all, I don't want Josh-centered meetings. I want Jesus-centered meetings, you know? And then you're like, well, what if other people here on a Sunday, what if someone tells someone on Sunday morning they spent half a meeting talking about me? That wouldn't be good. And then there's just kind of the inherent uneasiness of other people looking at you and talking. And I didn't like the idea. But they went on and they insisted and they took some time quoting some verses of Scripture and saying, Josh, we've seen you living this out faithfully in your life. We've seen how you've lived faithfully in light of this teaching of Scripture and so on and so forth. And I don't know if that went on for 20 minutes or something like that of brothers and sisters here in this church just speaking truth of encouragement in a loving way to me. I'll tell you what, even though I was resistant to that at first and kind of like, no, don't talk about me here. I'll tell you what, I left that meeting really, really built up, really, really encouraged, really, really energized, not because I walked away thinking I'm so great, but because I walked away realizing God really is getting stuff done in my heart and in my life. Sometimes we need other people to point out things to us and say, you know what? You're bearing fruit in this area of your life. And you say, no, I don't feel like I'm bearing any fruit there. I don't see God's hand at work in that area of my life. And we need other people just to speak those words of truth to us, to encourage us and to build us up. Sometimes speaking the truth in love to one another, it's just a matter of encouraging each other. I wonder, this week, Is there someone on your mind right now even that you're aware, you know what, I could go and I could speak some just encouraging words to that person? If so, go and do that. That's part of what will make this a church community, where we're speaking the truth in love to one another. We're building each other up. We're growing up the way that God wants us to. If not, let me just encourage you, open your eyes. Listen, God's hand is at work in thousands of ways here in this church family. If you will open your eyes to it, and just walk around, just try this. After church today, just walk around asking yourself, where do I see fruits of the Spirit being demonstrated? Where do I see people illustrating fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self. Where do I see people demonstrating fruit of the Spirit? Where do I see people serving others with the strength that God supplies? If you just walk around for 5 or 10 minutes after this meeting today, I bet you should at least find 3 people that you can go and encourage and say, listen, you have been faithful in Christ Jesus, and I just want to encourage you for that. That's the body building itself up in love, isn't it? Sometimes it's not just kind of encouragement in that regard. Ephesians 1 continues, and Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, Paul just kind of goes through there. And what does he do in that part of the book of Ephesians? He just reminds believers of all of the reasons we have to rejoice in the gospel. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. He talks about the blood of Christ through which we're redeemed, the fact that believers are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we can build up others just by reminding them of what's true in the gospel, reasons we have to rejoice in Jesus Christ today. I mean, how encouraged would you be? I mean, let's just be honest here. How encouraged would you be if a friend just sent you a text message saying, blessed be God, because he's chosen to adopt you in Christ Jesus? I mean, you just get reminded of that one simple little detail of a reason to rejoice, that God is now your loving heavenly Father. Now, you just hear that one simple reason to rejoice. Ephesians 1 is full of about a dozen of those at least. Sometimes speaking the truth in love, it's reminding each other of how many reasons we have to rejoice in the gospel. Sometimes speaking the truth in love to one another is just a matter of saying to someone, I've been praying for you. How encouraging are those words, right? I've been praying for you. You know, Paul, 2 different times here in the book of Ephesians, at the end of chapter 1 and also at the end of chapter 3, Paul takes a big chunk of this letter just to say, church, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you. Even this morning, I literally, not fishing for illustrations or anything, someone sent me a text message, said for some reason the Fenske family has been on my heart. Just wanted to pray for you guys. Wanted to let you know that. Listen, as we become a church community that is just speaking words like that in love to one another, I mean, it's got to be genuine. Don't just send those texts if you're not actually praying for people. You can smell that out from a mile away, and it's not very meaningful, but. And as we pray for one another and we just take the time to say, you know, I want you to know I was praying for you today. How built up and encouraged might we be? I'm going to speed over a whole bunch of amazing and beautiful truths here. Sometimes speaking the truth in love to one another means calling people to repentance. Sometimes it means calling people to repentance. You think of what Paul says in Ephesians 4:17. Having laid out the gospel in all its beauty, he says, now I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. I'm telling you, you must not go in that direction. Some words like that also build up the body of Christ. You can think of times in my life when I've sat down with friends in this church at a small group meeting or over a meal table, and brothers or sisters have admonished me, warned me, called me to repent. And listen, on this issue of repentance, this is where I think it is really, really important and sometimes really, really difficult to make sure that the truth is marinated with love, right? It's not easy to hear a word of rebuke from someone when you can smell and tell that they're really pretty upset with you right now and pretty bitter. And that's part of why we looked in Luke's gospel at the teaching of Jesus. First, take the log of bitterness out of your own eye, and then you'll see much more clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. We do have to speak the truth in love, and sometimes that means words of repentance, but even then, it's not truth minus love. It's truth with love. I don't know why I often think of this illustration, but it often comes to my mind from years ago when I needed someone to call me to repent by speaking the truth in a loving way. I think I've shared this story probably before, but I remember years ago I was at a worship conference with a number of people from this church. We were talking about Christian worship and stuff like that, and we'd gone off to our various seminars and came back from our seminars, and we were eating lunch together, and I started just kind of listing off all of my critical thoughts about what the seminar had been about and all the ways that I would have written it better and, you know, all this stuff and all the reasons why it wasn't really worth listening to. And I still remember my friend Jody very graciously, very lovingly. There was no way to question her care for me at the time, but she spoke the truth, and I needed it. She said, this was a very gracious way to do it. She said, you know, Josh, I've noticed that with a lot of Wheaton students, she's speaking very generally, some Wheaton students out there, with a lot of Wheaton students, there can sometimes be a tendency to criticize things instead of listening and paying attention to what God might be saying to you through it. It's very gracious, very gentle rebuke, but I needed to hear that. There's no way to question her care. And so as that truth of my need to repent in that way, marinated with love, was put in front of me, I was willing to take some of it, and I was nourished, and I was built up. And I share that illustration because I think that was a major turning point in my life. It was a major turning point in my life because for one of the first times ever, things kind of started to go deep for me about how bad my problems were with pride and arrogance. You say pride and arrogance, what's the big deal with that? Read what God says about those things. It's a pretty big deal, actually. It was a turning point in my life as a friend just spoke the truth in a loving way. This last week, I had to call someone on the phone and talk with this individual, calling him to repent. It was not an easy conversation to have. Calling an old friend who's made some unwise decisions that are harming himself and other people. Talking with him on the phone. Explaining to him in very clear terms, he needs to turn things around here, and he needs to do it now. It's a tense conversation. I did my best to explain to him, I was calling because I cared. I wanted to share these hard words because I cared enough to share them, not just because I was ticked off or something like that. We had a tense conversation over the phone. I half expected that might be the last time I'd talk with him. And I don't know what the end of that story is going to be. But I left that conversation feeling like, man, I tried to speak the truth in a loving way. I don't know if we'll ever talk again. I was amazed, though. The next day, talking on the phone, he thanked me for that phone call. Why was that? Not because I was just sharing warm, fuzzy things that he wanted to hear, but because sometimes in love, with the truth marinated in love, we really do need to speak the truth to each other and call each other to repent. Sometimes speaking the truth to one another involves repentance, but even then, it's not truth minus love. It's speaking the truth with love. We could go through here and talk about how Paul models for us speaking the truth in love by calling people to live out their faith in Christ in their day-to-day, real-world relationships. Paul gives exhortations to people about living in your marriage. His exhortations to children and parents. His exhortations to people about how to do life as a Christian in the workplace. You know, all these various categories. And I share them just to flesh out for us. Speaking the truth in love to one another, it may take on a variety of different shades. It may take on a variety of different colors. Sometimes it's just encouraging people. Here's what's true about you in Christ Jesus. Here's how you've been faithful. Here's how I've seen God's hand at work. Sometimes it's just, look, here's all the cool stuff that we have to rejoice in the gospel in. Let's rejoice in it. Sometimes it's calling someone to repent. In all of these cases, we speak the truth in love to one another. And what is God's design? Through that, the body of Christ is built up in love. But how do we do that? I want to get a little more concrete and a little more specific here, because I know as we start to share some of these various categories of how we build up the body through speaking the truth in love, all of a sudden it can kind of start to seem complex. And you say, well, how do I know if I'm supposed to just encourage someone or if I'm just supposed to call them to repent, or how do I know that? Let me give you a simple model. I think it's simple, that has really, really helped me for the past 10 years or so. Okay, here's a model that has helped me in small group ministry for at least the past decade. A model that we've taught here in this church in the past, and that can help, I believe, every member of this church think about playing your part of doing the work of ministry and speaking the truth in love to one another. It's a model that we've pulled out of a book by Paul David Tripp. The book is called Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands. Great subtitle, People in Need of Change, Helping Other People in Need of Change. Love that subtitle. But here's the model that Paul David Tripp gives. Four words. If you take notes, you can write these four words down. Love, know, speak, do. Love, know, speak, do. How are we going to be a church of people who are speaking the truth in love to one another? How can you play your part in doing that? When you show up at your first fellowship group meeting with your new small group, how are you going to know how you can speak truth in a loving way so as to build people up? Paul Tripp helps us with this simple outline. Love, know, speak, do. First of all, we're called to love other people. Without love, it's not speaking the truth in love. Is that clear? We're called to love other people. Now the question comes up, what if there's someone in my small group that I don't really like? You know, maybe you've been saying for years, I love that guy, but I really don't like him. How do you love that person? My friend Jamie reminded me of one of my favorite sermons or messages by John Stott, a great British preacher from the 20th century. And John Stott asks the question, how do we persist in loving people who are not easy to love? How do we do that? He says, two things that I've found to be true in my years of ministry. This is after he'd been ministering for, I think, more than 40 years, maybe more than 50 years of gospel ministry. Two things I've found particularly useful. Number one, remembering who they are. And number two, remembering how God views them, especially how precious they are in the sight of God. So John Stott tells a story about standing there kind of at the exit of his church building and seeing, he kind of jokingly refers to them as problem people. Here comes one of those problem people in my direction. They're not easy to minister to. They're not people that he feels naturally inclined to love or to like. He says, what do you do? He says what he is, the practice that he picked up over the years was the practice of just in his own mind and maybe even under his breath, just reciting with his own words how God views that person. You're part of the church, the flock of God. You're one of God's sheep. You're purchased by the blood, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about just reminding himself under his breath as he looks at that brother or sister and saying, how precious you are in the sight of God. How precious you are in the sight of God. That Jesus' blood was shed to redeem you. And I'll tell you what, when we start looking at people through those kinds of gospel lenses, seeing people the way that God views them, how precious you are in the sight of God, something starts to melt in our hearts, doesn't it? The blood of Jesus has this powerful effect of melting iciness in the heart. It's a de-icer for the heart, if you will. First of all, we love people. That's where we need to begin. In fact, I would say, especially when it comes to rebuking people, but even beyond that, man, I'd be really hesitant to go and talk with someone about a heavy matter if I'm not sure that my heart is full of love for that person. We begin with love. Having loved people, what do we do next in order to speak the truth in a loving way? We seek to know them. Why do we seek to know them? Well, Ephesians 4, verse 29, if you skim your eyes down there to Ephesians 4, 29, Paul talks about speaking words that are good for building up, quote, as fits the occasion. Part of upbuilding words is that upbuilding words fit the occasion. How do you know what the occasion is? You know what the occasion is by asking questions. By seeking to know more about that person's circumstances. What is the heat in your life that's making things really hard? We ask questions to learn more about their hope. Do you believe that God wants to help you change in this area? We ask questions that get down to the heart of the matter. What are you believing right now about yourself or about your spouse or about your roommate or about that person you've been in conflict with? We ask questions to get to know the person more. Listen, wise pastors will tell you that if you want to be effective in speaking the truth in love to others, one key is listening to that person. It's taking time to listen. Otherwise, we just end up kind of machine gunning other people. I've spent a lot of time thinking about love, know, speak, do, LKSD. I just thought, you know, if you take out the K, you've got LSD. And kind of like the drug, if you follow the LSD approach to counseling, you're going to see a lot of stuff, only some of which is actually there. We've got to take time to know people, to know what's really going on in their lives, right? And if you've ever been on the receiving end of counsel where someone's kind of machine gunning truth at you and you feel like you don't understand though. But you don't, that's not the issue. Thank you for sharing that truth. But that's not what I'm struggling with. If you've felt that frustration before, you understand why it's important for us to love people and then as an expression of our love for them, to take the time to know them. And hear more about what's really going on in their lives. Having known more of what's going on in their lives, we step forward into speaking the truth to them. Now, maybe it's quite possible that you've been there in that place before where you say, I've got a heart full of love for my friend. I have wept tears with her. And I know a lot of the details of what's going on, but I have no clue what to say. What do I speak in that time? Great counsel from my friend Tab, our church's founding pastor. I don't know how many of you have heard Tab talk about this. But I love it. I love the first time I heard it. It made me laugh out loud, just because I know Tab so well, and I just didn't expect him to say this. But Tab was, I was talking with Tab, I think Jamie and I actually were both talking with Tab about counseling one day, and we were asking, well, how do you discern what you want to say to someone after you've asked questions and so forth? And Tab says, I usually don't know what to say to them. That's part of why I listened for so long. I usually don't know what to say. But he says, as I'm listening, and so some of you are like, that explains so much. But as I'm listening to them and listening to their story, I just make a practice in the back of my brain to just be asking the Lord for words, to be asking the Lord for insight, to be asking the Lord, what truth do you want me to share with this brother or sister right now? Did you know that this is one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, that he gives words? It's a fascinating thing. It can transform the way you live life in your small group. We love people. We get to know what's going on in their lives. We speak the truth to them, and then we help them do something about it. Because God's word calls us to be not hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. And so we want to help people, we don't want to just leave people with our lectures. We want to share with people the simple truth of God's word as it connects with their real life. And then we want to help them do something about it. Just this last week at my fellowship group on Tuesday morning, we were talking about trials and temptations that we face in the workplace. And actually, I think it was a case where I had shared a passage of scripture and talked about it a little bit. I was the one guilty of probably of lecturing there. And as we're talking with people, one of the other guys just says, he looks at the guy I was talking to, and he says, so what difference is that going to make in your life today? I thought, that's a good question, actually. That's helpful. You see what he's doing? He's just helping this guy not just hear truth and lectures, but helping him think about, how am I going to take a step in real life as a result of this, right? Love, know, speak, do. And here's the thing. Here's why we're taking time on this sermon to talk about our words, to talk about our conversations with each other, to talk about what Christ-centered discussions can look like. We're having these discussions because the thing is, Jesus doesn't want you to live your life blindfolded by lies. Jesus doesn't want your brothers and sisters here in this church to go home and just live their life for the rest of this week blindfolded by lies. And so what has God done about it? I mean, he's given us his word and the ministry of his Holy Spirit, but he's also given us his people. And so often, it's as we talk with one another with Bibles open, with dependence on the Holy Spirit, so often that's where God's truth comes shining out of the Word and into our hearts and lives. And we begin to say, I know I've been tempted to believe that I can't really change, but as you're talking with me about this and showing it to me in God's Word, I'm feeling more faith that Jesus Christ really has set me free. And I really am able to live a life of faith and repentance and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. That I really am set free to go and love that person who is so difficult to love and be patient with that person who is so difficult to be patient with. So often, it's as we have the Bible open and this posture of dependence, and we're talking with another brother or sister, that we see in the Word things that we had a hard time seeing about who we are in Christ, and we just begin to see God's love for us afresh, and we just begin to realize, Jesus, you shed your blood for me. And if you've done that, how could I question whether you'll provide all things that are needed? He who gave his own son for us, how will he also not give us all things. So often it's right here as we have our Bibles open and a posture of dependence before the Holy Spirit, and we're talking with that other brother or sister who's going through a hard time, and we share with them, listen, you need to know this. You need to know that nothing will ever be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. And that's where the Holy Spirit just shines out of this word into people's hearts. Speaking the truth in love to one another, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. May God continue to do that in our midst. As each member plays its part, as you play your part, as these other people here in this room play their parts, as each one of us plays our parts, may God continue to do these good things as we simply speak His truth to one another with Christ reflecting love.